From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, presenting a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Victory in Reverses. The text is found in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. This may express the feeling of a man or woman downtrodden and oppressed. Our enemy may put out our light for a season. There is sure hope for us in the Lord, and if we are trusting in Him and holding fast our integrity, our season of downcasting and darkness will soon be over. The insults of the foe are only for a moment. The Lord will soon turn their laughter into lamentation, and our sighing into singing. What if the great enemy of souls should for a while triumph over us, as he has triumphed over better men than we are? Yet let us take heart, for we shall overcome him before long. We shall rise from our fall, for our God has not fallen, and he will lift us up. We shall not abide in darkness, although for the moment we sit in it. For our Lord is the fountain of light, and he will soon bring us a joyful day. Let us not despair or even doubt. One turn of the wheel, and the lowest will be at the top. Woe unto those who laugh now, for they shall mourn and weep when their boasting is turned into everlasting contempt. But blessed are all holy mourners, for they shall be divinely comforted.
Shalom, glory, glory.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, what is commonly called the unpardonable sin. In the course of this message, he is seeking to reveal what the Bible teaches in this area, answering such questions as who can commit this sin, and what exactly is the unpardonable sin. A particularly troublesome passage for many Christians is Hebrews chapter 6, which speaks of those who fall away from believing in Christ. Dr. Cairns is endeavoring to bring much-needed clarity to this passage. It has reference to people who, having known about Christ and the gospel, deliberately and finally turn away, and whom God gives up. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Blasphemy Against the Holy Spirit.
Now when we turn to Hebrews 6, there are a lot of people who think that this is talking about saints falling away. Christians who somehow feel the Lord and they can never be restored. So they're saved today and they're lost in hell tomorrow. But this is far from the truth. The key to Hebrews 6 is verses 7 and 8. The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now very clearly the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of these same people in Matthew 13. When he spoke of the seed falling on the thorny ground, just as Paul's talking about the thorny ground. These are not true believers, but people who have received great blessings through the gospel. I want you to be very intent in thinking this one through. For this touches many people. especially does it touch those who are brought up in Christian homes under the sound of the gospel. Here are people and they receive many blessings through the gospel, even though they themselves are not saved. Yet there are many things that they have morally and spiritually because of their association with the gospel. Yes, they even have made a thorny ground profession of the gospel. They are what the old Puritans used to call temporary believers. They are those who make a fair profession. But when the cares of this world come, when it comes to a contest between Christ and the world, they want the world. They are the thorny ground, so-called believers. They're not saved. They are not saved. Their end is to be burned. I find a very interesting thing in verse 9. Paul contrasts true believers with them. Hebrews 6 and 9, and he says, the true believers have things that accompany salvation. These are people then who did not have the things that accompany salvation. Those are actually very strong words in the original. Things that accompany salvation. Actually, they are things having salvation. Things that are of the very essence of salvation. These then are people who had many things, but they didn't have salvation. Now let me tell you, you can go a long way in religion and not have God's salvation. Let me quickly run down the list of the things these people had. They were enlightened. They were not dark heathens. They were enlightened. The word enlightened has in it the idea of being taught by the light of the Word of God. Like many, many people in Greenville, they are not heathens in the sense of lying in darkness, not knowing the gospel. Yes, they have a mental apprehension. The great saving truths of the gospel. They had grasped them with their minds, but these truths had never gripped their hearts. Then we read they tasted of the heavenly gift. A lot of discussion as to whether the gift is Christ in his life and death, or whether it's the Holy Spirit. It doesn't really make a lot of difference. I am inclined to think it's the Holy Spirit he's speaking of, who is called in Acts 2:38 the gift. In Acts 1:4 and 5 again, he's called the gift. Here are people and they had tasted of the heavenly gift. They had tasted of the operations of the Holy Spirit. They had felt the influence of the Holy Spirit. They had sat under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They had known through the preaching of the Word of God the direction of the Holy Spirit to repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. They tasted of the heavenly gift. There's a difference between tasting and drinking. The Lord Jesus, when he tasted the sponge that was put up to him, he wouldn't drink of its content. Paul said to the Corinthians that true believers have drunk into one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Then they were partakers of the Holy Ghost. I have to say that this is a tremendously strong statement. There are those commentators who will draw the distinction between the word for partakers here and say the word that Paul used to the Colossians when he was speaking of true Christians. And I recognize the distinction. But this is the very same word that we find in Hebrews 3 and 1. holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Yes, it speaks of people who are companions, who go along with, but it speaks, I think, of something very, very serious. These people actually had received miraculous gifts from the Holy Ghost. Sometimes that comes as a shock when people realize that unsaved people can have miraculous power. Matthew 7:22, the Lord Jesus warns us that there are people who will stand in the judgment day and say, in your name we cast out devils, in your name we did miracles. He professed to them, I never knew you. Balaam, the archapostate. Balaam, that wicked hater of God's people, yet had a miraculous experience. It didn't save him. The old Puritans again were at pains to point out that miraculous power is not in itself sanctifying power. God could use a donkey to speak to Balaam. The Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit could raise up sons out of the very stones of the earth. So the fact that an object is the recipient of miraculous power does not make that person or thing a child of God. Here are people, and they had felt miraculous power. When I read that, I tremble for many people in the charismatic movement who pin their faith on miracles and signs, most of which are purely illusory. But even if they were real miracles, even if they were, here are people who are partakers of the Holy Ghost in miraculous power, but they're not saved. They tasted of the good word of God. It's interesting that in Jeremiah 33:14, the Bible calls God's promise of the Messiah His good word, or as the Authorized Version has it, His good thing. The Hebrew is a word that can mean word or thing. It's His good word. These people had lived to see God send the Messiah, yet they weren't saved. They tasted of the powers of the world to come. It's interesting that the word powers is the word gifts of the Holy Ghost used in Hebrews 2 and 4. They had received again a taste of the miraculous power of the world to come, but they fell away. Now the falling away is not a slip. It's not an overcoming of a man with temptation and sin. No, no. If I could quote the words of A.W. Pink, great Bible teacher, who some years ago ministered not far from here in the city of Spartanburg. Pink said that this sin is the total renunciation of all the distinguishing principles of Christianity. And this not secretly but openly. And this is what constitutes apostasy. Hebrews 10:26, sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. What is the sin? When you're reading the book of Hebrews, remember this. The sin that Paul is combating is the sin of having an external affiliation to the church, but finally rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ and giving up Christ in order for another way of salvation. My friend, let me tell you, that is apostasy. I put all those texts together, and you can see that this sin against the Holy Ghost certainly measures up to Calvin's view that there's a special inward malignant
hatred of God and of His Christ, no matter what the truth is. Now, I want to tell you something, and I want you to listen very carefully. Every sinner has an immediate hatred of God. Every sinner is depraved. But I tell you this, if you are sitting here this morning and you are listening to the gospel as you've done on many occasions, and you find that the light of the gospel begins to dawn upon your mind, and the conviction of the Spirit begins to tug at your heart, and there is a movement of grace within your soul to point you to Christ, but there wells up within you a willful hatred of Christ, a willful malignant rebellion against Christ, a willful resistance to what you know to be of God, you are on dangerous ground. Such a heart. Such a heart. He's on the very verge of being given up of God. Because you see, as I pointed out right at the beginning, there's a lot to be said for Augustine's idea of final impenitence. You don't have to wait till your deathbed to be finally impenitent. I have known men reach this stage fairly early in life. I have known men go through life without a hope of repentance. I've seen men tremble under the preaching of the gospel and come right up to the point of decision for Jesus Christ, only to turn away, to be thereafter as cold as the Arctic ice to the gospel. Totally impenetrable by any influence for God and for good. The Bible is very clear in this. This then is Paul's description to the Hebrews of the sin that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Notice in Hebrews 6 the references to the Holy Spirit. Who is it that enlightens your mind? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is it that gives you an experience of conviction of sin? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is it that through the preaching of the gospel is dealing with your soul? It is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this kind of sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. It's interesting that Paul does actually describe some people who had committed this sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." He's speaking about apostates. Especially those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. The denial again is that apostate denial that we've been looking at in Hebrews 6. He describes these people again in Titus 1 verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Jude speaks of them in his little one chapter epistle. In verse 4, he speaks of certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, he says, "There's spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding." You see this? Feeding themselves without fear. Feeding themselves without fear. I see them at the Lord's table. I see them sit in the meetings of the church. And they're spots on the holy feast. They're blemishes on the testimony of a church. They feed themselves without any fear of God, without any thought of eternity. They have much profession, but they have no reality. Clouds without water.
What a description of a hypocrite. A cloud without water, carried about of winds. Certainly not anchored to Christ. Certainly not stayed upon the blood. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's an unforgivable sin. Hell is already reserved for them. These then are descriptions of the apostasy that Paul says cannot be forgiven.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.